Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, I am full of thanks, especially when I look at all the good blessings in my life. And of course, I look around and see what's around me in my neighborhood, in the world, and I see people who are struggling. Oh, and I have struggles too, but they're not the same as other people's. So I'm just thankful that I have all the good things, all the blessings in my life that I have, and I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for salvation, Lord, and I pray in Jesus' name and amen. We know that life has challenges, and how glad I am that I am not in a more difficult situation or a war zone, for instance, because I know there's several places in the world where every day, life and limb are in danger of being lost. So how thankful I am to be here in the United States of America with a calm, relatively calm life. And I was just thinking about how, well, it was on the March 12th broadcast, Pastor Alfredo Romero said there was a time in his life when he said this prayer, "Lord, I do not know how I'm going to make it through these things. And what is ahead of me, I don't know. But Lord, I trust you." And isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we pray? I know in my life I've said similar things because life circumstances are what they are, and they're not always easy. Not for any of us. We have challenges in life, and often that brings us closer to our conversation with God when we ask Him for things, for relief, for this and that. Lord, I trust you. That's has to be the attitude. My attitude, yeah. And we do have concern for lots of things in life, including other people. Yes, just about a week ago, I was at a Christian setting, a meeting, and it just happened that there were three Christian women right there who had concern for the salvation of their children or grandchildren. And I thought about how we do feel that burden for other people, especially the people we love who are our family. And so we think back and we do want to pray to God that He will act in the situation in front of us and them. I have heard lots of things over the years. I've heard men say that they were saved by the prayers of their praying mother or their praying grandmother, and that's how they speak about their salvation, thanks to them. And certainly, I'm thankful for all the people who have an active prayer life. Prayer makes a difference, and I am thankful for all the prayers that, well, people have given me, certainly. For what each one of us was before we were saved, we were different, And we know that prayers make a difference. We hear the stories at least, and oftentimes we can tell you about a prayer that we made, and all of a sudden something changed, and our prayer was answered. And we say, wow, isn't that wonderful? And yes, it is. You see, God answers prayer, and it is done in a way that is in His timing and for His plan and His purpose. Yes, Lord, that's what we say. Yes, Lord. Well, we all have concerns about salvation for other people, maybe for ourselves even. And somehow, we get guided by the Bible, and the Bible reminds us that God is the judge of the people's eternal destiny, not us. And we had better watch out that we do not think that a person is either saved or unsaved, because we don't know the whole story of their life. God does, and God, Jesus, is the judge of our salvation. I know there has been a time or two in my life when I have used Romans 10, 9 and 10 to say that a person would be saved. But I'm not so sure now, because over time there's other Bible passages that have talked to me, like John 3:3 is about being born again, and that is something that weighs on me too. And then there's Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, there are so many different opinions about what it takes to be saved. I've heard people say, salvation is easy to gain, but hard to lose. You know what? I do not care to be saying something like that, because that is under the authority of God Jesus. And all I can do is tell people about Scripture and urge them to learn for themselves what Scripture says, because that's really the whole thing. It's the personal relationship that a person has with Jesus Christ. And a part of what we do to be saved from the fires of hell is to have that relationship with God Jesus. And certainly, He is the judge, and we do what we best know how to do. And we are in a spiritual battle here on earth for our soul and where our soul will spend eternity. That is indeed what we are concerned with very, very much. And, oh, well, it's something we all have to face in our life about our afterlife. And where we decide makes a difference with what we know. And so we tell people about salvation through Jesus Christ. But it is always up to the person to seek that understanding and have that relation with Jesus Christ. That's what I see. Well, these days, of course, salvation is always ongoing with people who need it. And we also have other things that are ongoing in our life and in our world. And right now, the drums of war are beating. And so that always gets my attention. Now, those war drums have always been beating. It's just that it's in a different way at a different time. We've had generals, we've had presidents, we've had kings who desire to persuade the farmers to fight and to die for their freedom. Their freedom has a double meaning. It might be the freedom of the farmer, it might be for the freedom of the king. Well, whatever it is, war is always an intense experience. And that's been the way it's been throughout time. Whether there were people facing the Roman gladius and sword, and the centurions, or the formation of the Roman army. See, was a fearful thing in that day. And in the present day, we have threats of war also. They come in different ways. We often think about a nuclear war, and that is a real possibility, especially now with things growing into conflict. Well, the Bible does tell us that there will be wars and rumors of war at the end of the age. Do you think that means today? Well, it sure could. It sure could. We wonder if peace will last just a little bit longer in our country or in our neighborhood, or will there be violence that suddenly erupts? For instance, there could be a revolution, or there could be a Black Lives Matter event, or there could be a roadside bomb, or a random act of violence. See, these things happen, and we have to be aware that they do happen. There can be sudden acts of random violence. Just that's kind of normal. It's not even, I'm not talking about Revelation 18, but I could. Revelation 18 tells about destruction in a day, in an hour. And somehow we know that's coming, and we get to think, well, what are we going to do about it? We have lots of forces that are bearing down on us, and we have to really know that we have a faith in Jesus Christ, and that is where our hope is. It's in our God, and that's for sure. Some things don't change, though, in life, and I think about that nothing changes under the sun. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9, as I recall. And so we have patterns that are happening. They have happened all the time. And often enough, we just don't see them because, you know, we're hardly taught history in school anymore. And I have wondered if that is an intentional trend so that the young people can be so-called guided into a way of thinking and a correct response according to those in power. Well, people can learn patterns, and so can young people. And that's the danger of history. If we know what's going to happen, well, we would get prepared for it, because some things just don't change. We know that in our own lives, how patterns repeat. But we also know that in a historical context, how historical patterns also repeat. Well, last week I came across an article referring to a 2004 Time magazine article. It cited government data to show that 3 million illegal aliens had crossed over our southern border. That was in 2004. So we see the things like that happening today. A pattern repeats. Oh, another part of that article was, again, using government data. 190,000 of those people who crossed into the United States were, they call them, other than Mexicans. So they were from a country other than Mexico. And particularly, they noted Russia and China and Iran. Those were the main countries that these undocumented people coming across our southern border were from. Again, government data. And today we have Homeland Security and congressional reports that indicate we have hundreds of thousands of illegal border crossers who have served prison time for a felony. So apparently, they come to the United States to receive government handouts and because Americans are easy prey. Americans are easy to rob, to rape, and to kill. And all the while, our politicians have ensured us that our southern border is, well, it's guarded, but we all know that it is easy to cross. Now, I just said about what we learn in school. So often history is hardly taught, and so the young people don't have an opportunity to recognize historical patterns. But if you're a big reader like I have been in my life, I certainly see the patterns, and I know the things repeat besides those words out of Ecclesiastes where Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. I have to wonder, how can this happen by accident? That in 2004, government data said 3 million illegal aliens crossed our southern border into the United States. We have a similar thing going on today, right this year, right last year. 1 million border crossers or more, 3 million maybe. The thing is we are not told, and we don't demand an answer either, for how many illegal border crossers there have been across our southern border. It's almost like it's a plan, because it has repeated. It repeated before, it's repeating now. Is it a plan? Is it intentional? Could it be a plan to weaken the United States in every way? Yes, economically, yes, socially, yes, politically, all of it. That's what could be going on. Now, I do know that so many of our politicians make great big claims to be patriotic, but what they do by allowing such huge numbers of people to cross our southern borders is certainly unpatriotic, and it certainly contributes to the decay of the United States. Well, what do we say when these things continually happen? I think we say, it must be intentional. There must be a plan going on here. A plan? What could that plan be? The plan very well may be to weaken the United States, because that is a part of a bad people plan. People who want to cause chaos in the world and reclaim, well, it's different ways to say it, the resources, the things of the earth that they want, the political power. It's all a little bit different depending on what a person wants. They have a reason to think that they will get it after things fall apart. Well, there are bad forces in the world, and we know that. We know there's a battle going on between good and evil, God and Satan. It's going on. And so we have to recognize it so that we are able to avoid it. We certainly see that it has been more destructive than we could have guessed. Just more destructive. And what do we do about it? You know what we do about it. We do the best we know how. But to do something, we have to look. Look at what's going on. And then you, just like each one of us, have to have thoughts about it and a plan and then to do something to carry out that plan. Everything is at stake for what is going on. Our prosperity is at stake. Our safety is at stake. Our very survival of this society, this country, as a free people, that is at stake. That's what's going on. What are we going to do about it? Well, we are easily manipulated, so it seems. I mean, really, look at what's going on. We were saying that the drums of war were beating. And what do? We get all excited about it. And we let the media manipulate our emotions. See, that's what's at least a part of what's going on when we have these images of war and destruction and great big injustice being done in Ukraine. Yes, it is destruction. Yes, it is unjust. And it is going on in so many parts of the world. Oh, in Central Africa, there's things that are so bad. There's great violence and injustice, mostly by Muslims against Christians. And what are we going to do about that? Well, what about the things going on in China? Oh, let's look at Hong Kong first. In Hong Kong, the people are saying that there was an agreement to keep Hong Kong free. It was guaranteed by the United States and Britain. What are we going to do about it to keep Hong Kong a free geographical area? Well, China has moved in. They have their security forces that have taken over meaningful areas. And the opposition, they have wrecked the opposition. They have destroyed the offices. They have imprisoned the people. What are we doing about that? What are we doing about China? How there is an internment of Uyghurs and Christians and Falun Gong. Well, it's not just internment. Yes, internment. But they go into these, you could call them gulags, and what happens is the first thing that happens upon entering is they get their blood drawn and they are typed to see what their organ type is, blood type is, so their organs are either suitable or not for another need. And those organs are harvested and go all around the world. I know I can't stand talking about it. I hate it. But what are we going to do about it? Are we going to send our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren to fight and die on foreign soil? Are we going to be obedient to the political and the military orders that are lawfully given? Well, what are we going to do about Ukraine? I mean, we are getting all worked up emotionally because of the injustice and the destruction that has taken place. Is it what we want to do to send our sons and daughters to fight over there? Do you remember Afghanistan? We sent our sons and daughters to fight and die in Afghanistan. And then we suddenly withdrew, leaving hundreds of millions of dollars of American equipment there, but worse than that, we left the lives and the American blood on Afghan soil. Thousands. That's what we did, and then suddenly withdrew. So, what are we going to do about the other places in the world where there is terrible injustice? Do we have a national security interest in Ukraine? Well, there are often things that get told, and they just kind of sneak out. And we don't really know about the gain-of-function labs in Ukraine, but we are told about them. But who's listening? Who is listening to the counter voice to the drums of war. Well, we had better pay attention, because if we are ignorant, we will not stay free for long. And we are putting sanctions on Russia, you know that, on the oil, on the payment systems, on the banking. And you know what sanctions are. They are acknowledged as an act of war. That's what sanctions are. And if you want to look at it on a personal basis, just think what you would do if suddenly you had no income coming in. Suddenly you could not access the money in your bank accounts. Suddenly you could not buy gas or groceries or clothes for your children. You could not pay rent or buy your fun stuff. I think you'd be pretty mad. And that's what we have done to Russia. We have cut off their income, basically. So, is it part of a plan? Are the mad Russians going to attack the United States? We just can't believe it, huh? Because we are the most powerful nation in the world, right? We are also the freest nation in the world, right? But what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we following a plan to destroy Russia? And, well, if Russia strikes the United States, there would also be a plan to destroy the United States. And, of course, with Russia and the United States destroyed, that leaves another major power to fill in the gap. How do you think China would do? I said about how China has half of the entire world supply of food right on hand in China. What does that mean? What if you're hungry? What are you going to do? Well, we have a situation where there is a world conflict that is being planned. Now, you don't have to believe that, but if you read, especially if you read the opposition literature, there is a plan, and that plan includes the destruction of the United States. That is very real. But of course, if we don't study history, we don't know it. If we don't search for information, we don't know it either. Who are you relying on to tell you things? Who are you relying on to tell you what just might be coming our way? Are your politicians going to tell you? Oh, I don't know that they want you to know that. I don't know that they want you to know that there really is an evil plan. And when chaos comes to the world, then the new world order will take over. Look, that has been a plan for a long time. We don't read. We don't see history. We don't even listen to people. See, in the late 70s, at that time, the Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, said that the only thing standing in the way of the New World Order is a strong United States of America. Yeah, he said that. But who remembers? Well, too long ago, right? Well, we do have history. Who looks at history? But if you want to know another thing, guess what Henry Kissinger said in the August 2014 issue of the Wall Street Journal. He repeated that concept that the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong United States of America. Now, in that article, he said it different. He said it different, but the underlying thought was there. And that's what's going on right now today. We have to recognize that the powers that be want to see destruction in the world. That's why the media does not tell us what's going on. That is why we are not warned about what's going on, because the powers that be control the media, and they do not want us to know how things are moving against our freedom and against our country, the United States of America. Do you know why they don't want us to know? because then we would oppose their plans to destroy so much. Well, we know that if we look at the literature, their literature, it doesn't get out very much. We have to search for it. But it is there, and if we look, we will find it. It's just that most people want to be fat, dumb, and happy. Did I say that? Well, oh, I wish I hadn't, but I just did. Most people want to live a comfortable life with no care and no concerns. And that is why, in the past centuries, they have wanted a king to watch over them. Of course, that's my opinion. I have not talked to any of those people, but that seems to be pretty clear from my study of history, that they don't want to be troubled with knowing the extra things. They don't want to be troubled with the fights that are going on between the powers that be. They just want to live their own happy little life, just like today. The people were not aware, and today the people are not aware of so much. But I will say that more and more, there is a growing number of people who are aware, and they are noticing that our country is deteriorating. They are noticing that their freedom is diminishing. They are noticing the decay in the lives of the people all around them. There is a movement today to stand up for liberty. People want their guaranteed rights, their in the Bill of Rights. People want to have an understanding of what the Constitution is bringing them. And often enough, it is the people who are Christian who want those basic rights that we have been guaranteed. We are a freedom-loving people, but what people are not freedom-loving? Everybody wants freedom, but it has been changed now to do the things that we want to do that are not good for us. It used to be we wanted the freedom to worship God the way that we were called on to do, because we have different parts of the Bible that we read that tell us how to worship God. And the thing is we want to be free to do that. That was what started the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, to leave Egypt. They wanted to be free to worship their God and to sacrifice to their God. Today, we want the same thing. It's just we have different ideas. And we have different ideas of what we want also. We think about wanting evil things, things that are not good for us. But if we want the good things that the Bible says are good, we can have a long and prosperous life. There are people who have stood up for evil. No, they have stood up against evil. They have stood up for freedom. That has been what has happened in history, and we know that the people who have done this sometimes are, well, they're smashed down because the powers that be do not want us to be free, and they do not want people who speak about our freedom in a way that's understandable. They don't want people who can explain the problems of the political system. And we have had people like that, and something happens to them. Oh, only a few people remember James Traficant. Well, he was running for office, and he talked to a whole lot of people over the media, over the airwaves at the time. And somehow something happened where he was brought up on charges, and off he went to prison. Were the charges true or not true? I don't know. I just remember that he went off to prison, and immediately he complained to his lawyer that his heart pills, heart medicine, had been taken away from him. And he was told by the prison officials that the prison doctor had to be the one to prescribe the medicine. That's the system. Well, without his heart medication, he suffered a heart attack and he died shortly after that. And so he was a man who was standing up for freedom and righteousness, but he died. Too bad. He did have a public outreach and he spoke over the media, but of course when he died, all that stopped. There will be a few people in the North State who remember D.V. Kidd. She ran for public office and she had great widespread support. And somehow it happened that after the election, she lost her bid for office. And she couldn't understand it because everybody who she knew was voting for her. She had strong support. But she suspected that there was vote fraud involved in that. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It's hard to prove that, isn't it? Even our President Trump and his supporters say that he had widespread support and there had to have been vote manipulation. He would not have lost that election, but somehow he did. He lost the election. And was it because of vote manipulation? Well, it could have been. And you know that President Trump, he had made some very powerful enemies. There were lots of people who didn't like him. And even citizens, some of them didn't like him intensely. Well, that President Trump, he had some powerful enemies, especially after he told the United Nations that nationalism was good for a nation, any country, and that he supported countries that had nationalistic views. And he said he supported the United States to have nationalism also, not to an extreme, just so that it was done on a fair and equal basis. He also said that he was against globalism. He opposed globalism. And you know what happened? The One World Order people became a powerful force against him. And he certainly did lose the election one way or another. Was there voter fraud or not? Well, there's evidence to say that it was. There's evidence to say that there wasn't. And somehow, we regular people get to decide what is happening with our elections and in our country. Do we have an enemy? Does there exist a powerful force to contain and control us? Well, what's going on? What's going on in our country? Well, there's a couple of different things that I see, two different things. One is that there is a great deal of apathy. There is a great big lack of awareness for what is going on. People don't know, and people don't care. All they care about is having enough food in their stomachs and enough things for their children. They want a warm house and everything's fine. But there's another group of people and they are growing in number. They are becoming noticed as they notice the great concern that they have about where our country is going. Look at the direction our country is going in. They see it, and they see serious trouble coming our way. In our families, in our communities, and in our country, and in our world. Why? Because the values are changing. People are not supporting traditional values. They're not supporting our country, our community, our family. And without that, everything kind of falls apart. So they see trouble, and they are warning other people This is a group of people that is growing and growing in our country. If you look around, you'll see them. If you talk to people, you will get an idea that they see the deterioration going on, and they want to preserve our country. They want to reinvigorate our nation's moral values. And pretty much that means to reinvigorate Christian values with biblical love and biblical moral principles at the center of a, well, let's call it a revival. That's what they would like to see. Oh, sure, we all would, wouldn't we? Or do you want the New World Order to come in? Well, it's a matter of freedom or not freedom. But this, there is a force growing all around us with people who are concerned that our country is going the direction of failure. So I think that whatever you want, you can prayerfully support it. Yes, first through prayer, and then materially, however you see fit. Because we have to stay aware of what is going on, and then we stay involved with the things that are going on also and support it. Now, there is another certain movement that's going on, and that is permeating our too many of our lives and even too many young lives. It's all about sex and violence. That is not what will strengthen a country. It's everywhere in our society, in our music, in our movies. There are symbols of death all over the place. Look at the people with tattoos. What do they have tattooed on them? Often it's a symbol of death. And we have occult symbols going on in cartoons, and it is getting into children's videos. Well, it has been for decades. It's just that it's our turn to notice it, or it's not. Do you have children and grandchildren? Do you want them to have these sexualized and occult images into their brain? We just look right past them. But if you were to get a video that would explain the occult and other images in the cartoons, you would be shocked. I know I was shocked 20 years ago, and I'm still shocked. But over 20 years ago, it's been going on for a long time. There is a condition that's going on where we have, Genesis 6:5, where the intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's what God saw in humanity. Genesis 6:5. So what's going on right now? Do you maybe kind of notice that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually? Yes, and there's so many forces out there that are reinforcing that alternative view. Why, we even have artificial intelligence and robotics that are playing to the perversions that anybody can think of. Horrible, horrible. Well, at least ungodly, that's for sure. And our society is becoming a little more, I'll call it perverse. Perverse every year. That is really what's going on. It's growing. Is that where you want your children and grandchildren to grow up knowing and being involved in? Or what about the desire for Christian morality? What are we going to do? We are in a survival, not just for our family and our community and our country. We are in a battle for the survival of Christianity and Western Christian civilization. It's a battle, and there are forces standing against us, and they have plans. They have been planning this for hundreds of years. If you look, you see it. If you don't look, you won't see it. But we have things going on to weaken the fabric of society, of America. Weaken us so that we can be walked right over, overcome. Yes, we are easy to manipulate because we are getting ingrained in violence and sexual thoughts. It's not a good future. And we have something going on. You might call it a new normal. Is this where you want your children and grandchildren to grow up? We have a new normal with lying, even. Oh, hey, how you doing today? I'm great. How you doing? Is that a lie? Yes, it's a white lie, so to speak, but it is still a lie. It's a slippery slope when we start down the course of lying. Yes, we're just lying to get along. Yes, we're just lying because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Or we don't want to hurt our own feelings. So, little lies are acceptable, right? Well, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. And the lies continue. They get more and more and normal and natural. And pretty soon, we don't even think about it. It's normal to have a lie come out of our mouth. See, we have a certain reality going on in the world. And a part of that reality is how people deal with America. Americans have gotten accustomed to lying, and so the other countries notice that and they say, America's not good. They lie about everything. So is that true? Kind of. I mean, look at how we have found lying acceptable. And we do it so normally, so naturally. And I know it takes a little more time to interact with a person truthfully, but just think, if you talk to a person truthfully, maybe you tell them you're not fine, maybe you tell them about your struggle or your kids or something, that makes for personal relationship. And when we have personal relationship, we have... That's what humanity is about, knowing people and having that personal relation. I do feel sorry for the people who don't have it and who cannot spend 5 minutes to talk to a person. Do we really not have five extra minutes to see how the person is really doing, what their concerns are, and hopefully to have just a couple of minutes as you walk away to pray for that person? Because prayer changes things. Oh, yes, it does. It is so beneficial to so many people. And thank you for the prayers that you have prayed for me. I certainly appreciate all the prayers very much. Prayers are important. But back to the state of the country, we have things going on which have caused deterioration and even... People get mad at the United States of America, and people could see, oh, it's justified for America to be destroyed. Sure, let's destroy America because they're a bad and evil country. And if you haven't noticed, that's what so many of our school children are learning. America is bad. Well, we don't make it any better when we have a habitual habit of lying, even if they're white lies. Because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Are you able to think enough so that you can say something that's truthful but doesn't hurt someone's feelings? Or is your brain incapable of that? No, we can be capable of saying something that is true and doesn't hurt someone else's feelings. We can do that. And we can do that with every person we know. It can be just normal. But we do, I think we do, have to be aware that there are forces at work that want to destroy our country. They want to destroy it in any way possible. The moral destruction is probably the basis of the rest of the destruction. So it starts with moral loss, and then it goes to the rest of the loss that is going on. We are losing so many things in our negotiations with other countries. Look at the amount of dollars that we lose every year with our trading partners, especially China. Look at how we have lost our trade, call them secrets. We have lost manufacturing things to go on. And we just can't believe really what's going on. I still remember that article about China complaining about their engines and their jets not being powerful enough to operate the jet and the directed energy weapon in the nose of the plane. They complained. That was public. And we want to say there's no directed energy beams in our country. Well, China has them. I can be pretty sure that we have them too. So we have directed energy weapons, and that could have been something to do with the fires around our country. I don't know that, but I wonder. I mean, we have to examine the evidence that is in front of us, and what do we see? What makes sense? Well, we all have to figure that one out for ourselves, because it's different for each one of us, and our ideas ought to lead us to prepare for whatever is coming. And certainly we don't know what it is, but we get an idea that there are people and forces that want the destruction of America. And we have cyber attacks that have been going on for years, but there is a goal to have our electrical grid go down. And the experts say that they don't know if the electrical grid is capable of being started up again if it goes down completely. Oh, there are people who have talked about that. Ted Koppel, he wrote a book, Lights Out. He was that newscaster. And so he was very concerned about our electrical grid going down. And then just look at the last 20 years of reports to Congress. It's overwhelming. If you look at the titles and a little synopsis, it's overwhelming to read how much information there is to say that our grid, electrical grid, is in great danger. There's too many ways for it to fail. And yes, we have safety systems, we have fail safes all along, but it still doesn't mean they're going to work. It means that people are concerned, and therefore we ought to be careful about what we would do without electricity. And I know that there have been, I will call them prophetic people. They claim to have the gift of something. And there has been a widespread number of people who have talked about the collapse of the United States. I know one I've liked in the past has been Dana Coverstone, a Kentucky pastor. And he had these words of warning for the United States. He said, brace yourself. Brace yourself. That makes sense to me, because we always want to be prepared for whatever's coming our way. And while we don't know what it is, we do know what it could be. And so the number of people who are Christian people and the ones who are worldly people, there's a great deal of discussion about a coming crash, whether it's financial or whether it's because of our electrical grid or something we can't even guess. Maybe a pandemic. Maybe there is something called long COVID that's going on, and it is affecting people, causing depression right now, where the COVID symptoms have gone away, but depression has been left behind. That is widespread in our society right now and in the last couple of months. Is that going to go on? Is that going to get worse? Again, we don't exactly know, but it's another example of being prepared for the unexpected. We have things that are dragging us down. Yes, our morality, but also our financial state, where we have allowed millions and billions and trillions of dollars to go unchallenged and they disappear. Now, this is kind of interesting. The last two Federal Reserve chairmen have said, quote, "We are in uncharted waters," unquote. Yes, they are very concerned for what's going on, and all they know how to do is to print money to get us out of the situation. And that's what they're doing. They are printing money on a huge, huge basis. They don't even print it. They make it available electronically. They just press a button, and all of a sudden, millions and billions of dollars are created. This is not good for our economy. This is not good for our state of financial stability. We are on a crash course, and so we better know it. The enemy has a plan to destroy us, and we have to be wise enough to avoid that. There again, I will use that little phrase, brace yourself for impact. Impact, now North Korea has talked about having ICBMs that can reach anywhere on Earth. In fact, our military made a special alert because of those intercontinental ballistic missiles that North Korea has. You know, North Korea is a poor country. How did they get those missiles? Obviously, they were a gift from China. But will they ever be used? Certainly. Certainly. You don't make a real expensive war weapon and not expect it to be used. We have these things that are coming upon us, and it's coming upon us quickly and with great strength. So we all better think about a plan, and then we have to do it with prayer and with compassion for other people. So please think about that. The days we are living in are very unstable. I have often said, buckle your seatbelt, because what's coming is going to surprise everybody. I also, whatever is coming, remember that we have a loving God, and we are to love God and love our neighbor wisely. We do it with wisdom, but we love people, and of course we love our God. So listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And you can write me for my free preparedness brochure. I have ideas in there that might be helpful. Just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll get that back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May God walk with you. And may you walk with God. See, that's what we want. We want relationship with Jesus Christ. So, God bless you. Give me passion that pours out to air.